It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hey yo, Reliving the War, episode 195, the 2nd of August, 1999. This week we've got Raw coming from Columbus, Ohio, and Nitro's in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. The pressure is now on WCW. Executives at the top of Turner Broadcasting have been keeping a close eye on what's been going on, and they're not happy. The clock's ticking for Eric Bischoff, and worst of all, he doesn't even know it yet. Guys, I may have failed in my mission to meet Steve Blackman and gain some of his superpowers, but jam-up guy Allen stepped up to the plate and he met the man himself at WrestleCon Philadelphia. Allen's now going through his own transformation as Shin Allen, and Tony Schiavone even asked him for a photo because Allen just became super, super awesome. Thank you for your photo, Allen. Very much appreciated, sir. Right, let's get started. Another week, another episode of Reliving the War. Harlem Heat are officially back together. Stevie Ray left the NWO on Thunder this past week, and Chris Kenyon says the Jersey Triad are going to beat Harlem Heat right now in the middle of the ring. DDP has a match with Chris Benoit tonight, and Page says the only reason he helped David Flair last week was because David's a better champion than Benoit ever was. Strong words there, Dallas. Strong words. Page says Chris hasn't got it, he never will have it. David Flair has definitely got it, though what it is could be anything at this point.
You're gonna have to learn to live with it. Bada bang!
Out comes Harlem Heat, and gonna admit, I'm kinda bummed they're not in matching ring gear. The crowd go crazy for Booker and Stevie Ray, and it does make you remember that even though WCW were going through hard times, they still had a loyal fan base who showed up to Nitro to enjoy themselves. They continue to go crazy when Booker and Stevie Ray made an example out of Chris Kenyon. Bam Bam was able to slow things down a little, but the roof came off the arena when Stevie Ray suplexed the Beast from the East. Booker comes in and Kenyon takes a hook kick. Chris fires back with a slingshot elbow drop. Booker's now in trouble as Bam Bam pulls off his diving headbutt, but a hot tag gives Stevie Ray the chance to fire up on both Bigelow and Kenyon. It ends with a Harlem sidekick from Booker T, and when he goes up for the dropkick, DDP tries to attack him with his tag team belt. Chris Benoit stops Page in his tracks, and Booker wins after landing his missile dropkick. Booker T was not the legal man, but as I'm sure you know by now, WCW didn't really care about the fundamentals of tag team wrestling sometimes. The tag titles weren't up for grabs here, but Harlem Heat will get their opportunity at Road Wild. Benoit grabs a mic and he says it's now his time, it's Benoit's turn. Chris is going to prove he's got it tonight against DDP, whatever it is, and Benoit looks to destroy DDP later on Monday Nitro. Lodi and Lenny Lane talk about the Cats bunny slippers from last week, and they talk about owning a pair when they were kids, so they're still saying they're brothers, I guess. The boys want to ask Ernest Miller where he got his slippers from, but remember, it was Buff Bagwell who put the fluffy bunnies in Miller's briefcase. WCW President Sting comes to the ring and he says he's not happy with how last week's main event ended. So Sting wants to fight Sid Vicious and Rick Steiner tonight on Nitro, no mention of Kevin Nash. Sting says he's the one who wants a tag team partner this week. He asks the fans who they want to see in the main event, and they don't chant Hogan's name, they chant for Goldberg. So Sting asks Bill Goldberg to be his partner tonight in the Nitro main event. We'll find out soon if Billy Boy agrees to team up with the Icon. Ernest Miller said Buff Bagwell can come out, paint his face black and dance all he wants, but it's not funny. It was maybe funny in 1920, but not anymore. Miller says he doesn't need his ruby slippers to win matches. You could have fooled me, mate. And to prove it, he's going to beat up two, and I quote, girly guys right now on Nitro. Lenny and Lodi make their entrance. They inquire about Miller's bunny slippers. They end up getting wrecked by the Cat, and this was supposed to be a one-on-one match with Lenny Lane, but the Cat ends up beating up both guys, and neither man gets in any offense. It ends with a feliner, and the Cat now looks on to Road Wild where he faces Buff Bagwell. Raw began with the Acolyte standing at the entranceway during the initial Raw Pyro display. They called out Big Show and Undertaker for a fight, and do keep in mind, Bradshaw and Farooq still call themselves Acolytes while wearing the Undertaker symbol on their ring gear. They ended up getting the big shot Hardcore Holly instead though. Holly says his boys Taker and Show aren't here yet, but the leader of the Super Heavyweights is here, that being Hardcore Holly himself. So Bombastic Bob runs down for a fight and he gets his ass handed to him. He takes a double spinebuster, the Dominator, the Clothesline from Hell, and two double power bombs. You gotta appreciate the courage of Mr. Holly, but at the same time, he's a bit stupid, isn't he? We've got the first ever WWF Bloodbath match to start us off, Edge vs Gangrel. On Nitro, Hollywood Hogan gets interviewed by Mean Gene. Christian was seen in the audience with Gangrel last night on Heat, and Edge is heartbroken that his brother would turn his back on him like this. To win this match, Edge or Gangrel has to throw a vat of simulated blood over their opponent, and yes, Jim Ross called it simulated blood. It's all Gangrel as the match begins, but Edge is able to stop the funky vampire every time he goes for the simulated blood. Gangrel takes a jumping leg lariat followed by a power slam. He made multiple failed attempts to get that bucket, and when he has a golden opportunity to do so on the outside, he just completely ignores it. We see a tornado DDT from Edge, an arm trap suplex from Gangrel. Gangrel then tries a top rope move, but he falls victim to a reverse electric chair drop. Edge then goes upstairs, but his opponent wakes up and Edge takes a superplex. Gangrel then leaves the ring and the commentators say this is it, he's gonna go for the blood, but instead he stupidly goes for a steel chair and this plan initially backfires. Edge does end up running into the chair when he goes for a spear though, and Gangrel seemingly has it won after delivering his impaler DDT. He goes to retrieve the blood, the lights go out in the arena, and when they come back on, Gangrel's been covered in that simulated blood. Christian just gave Gangrel a bloodbath, and Edge wins this match. Christian didn't leave Edge, and it was a setup all along. We didn't see that one coming. On Nitro, Wood from the Hood comes out wearing paper clips around his neck. I have absolutely no idea what's going on here, but this must have been a rib. He can't be serious right now. He said in an interview that a kid must have made it for him backstage, but I'm not buying that. I think someone said to him, hey Hulk, you're not mad enough to wear a paperclip necklace, and Hollywood was like, fucking right I am, brother. Hogan says he has a date with the devil at Road Wild. It's Hogan versus Big Kavina for the World Heavyweight title. Hulk says he wants to shoot before saying he doesn't like Kevin Nash and Kevin Nash doesn't like him. For years, these two have played games with each other backstage, and it's clear to Hulk that Nash wants to be WCW's number one top dog. But Nash is just like everyone else who tried to knock Hogan off that number one spot. Hogan's got his belt with him tonight, along with his paperclip necklace. And if Nash has the guts, Hogan will put the title up against Big Sexy tonight on Nitro. I wouldn't have been surprised if this match actually happened, because WCW really were that daft. But it's a typical bait and switch right here. Hogan versus Kevin Nash does not take place on this week's episode of Nitro. Shane McMahon cuts a promo on Raw next, while on Nitro, Sting comes out to get Goldberg's answer. Shane says he watched his dad's farewell speech last week from the comfort of his own home. Shane's proud that his dad lived up to his guarantee, and he hoped fans would show Vince the respect he deserved when he said goodbye. But McMahon didn't get the farewell party that Shane expected, and the fans, instead, mocked Vince McMahon. Jim Ross was also part of this, and Shane says he'll have some payback for Ross later on, and Shane continues putting his dad over by saying Vince made WWF more recognizable than Disney and more recognizable than Time Warner. Vince built pro wrestling, he made pay-per-view what it is. There'd be no Stone Cold, Rock, Undertaker, Big Show, Triple H and others without Vince and K. McMahon, and Shane even takes a shot at the competition while continuing to put Vince on a pedestal.
Hell, without Vince and K. McMahon, there would not even be Ted Turner's WCW Wrestling!
Shane says without Mr. McMahon there'd be no WCW roster, saying as Vince made most of those guys stars a long time ago. So in short, the world is indebted to Mr. McMahon. Shane and Triple H had a meeting where Hunter guaranteed that he'd win the WWF title at SummerSlam. Shane looks forward to Stone Cold Steve Austin having an out-of-body experience when he loses the championship. As it pertains to the corporate ministry, the group has now finished and every member's free to do whatever he or she wants, and Shane's going to put all his focus on Big Test, the man who's been trying to ride his sister. Test comes out, he says he told Shane to stay out of his and Stephanie's business, so Test wants to make an example out of Shane and those, and I quote, free Gap employees. I hope he's not talking about the Main Street Posse. Tess is going to go through every posse member until he gets to Shane, and then Stephanie's going to end up an only child. On Nitro, the Stinger wants to know if it's showtime. Is Goldberg going to team up with him tonight in the Nitro main event? You know, he is WCW president and he could just force Goldberg to tag with him, but whatever. Billy Boy's getting jumped backstage by Rick Steiner and Sid Vicious, so Sting runs out to get a piece of these two dirty bastards. The heels end up beating Sting up when the Stinger gets backstage, and then they bring him all the way back down to the ring. But it looks like Sting won't need a partner for tonight at all, as he hits Sid and Rick with a few Stinger splashes. The attack doesn't last long as Sid puts Sting down with a chokeslam, so Goldberg runs down seconds later and the heels get out of harm's way. It looks like Goldberg's agreed to team up with the Icon later on, so that's our main event in place for tonight's Nitro. Kane and Road Dogg take on Undertaker and Big Show next on Raw. On Nitro, it's Disco Inferno versus Evan Courageous. So the Disco Inferno trend continues on WCW. Build him up a bit, give him some babyface moments during a short-lived feud, have him win an upper mid-card match before jobbing out again, rinse and repeat the whole process all over again. Evan Courageous wasn't going to beat Disco tonight. It ends with Evan taking the Chartbuster, though the move of the match was this power slam from Courageous right here. After the bout, Tori Wilson says David Flair's the greatest working champion of all time, and she wonders why David defends his title so much on TV. David doesn't know, but he learned from Daddy Flair that he only has to defend the US belt a minimum of once every 30 days. So from now on, David's only going to defend the championship when he wants, and he'll always have Charles Robinson as his referee. If this means less David Flair matches, then sign me up. This dude right now is a waste of TV time. On Raw, Al Snow's with his little dog, who he's named Pepper. They're trying to flush Head down the toilet, but all they're doing's giving Head a swirly. Al thinks this is hilarious while Pepper's thinking about dinner. So then, it's official, The Undertaker and Big Show are indeed a tag team, and they even have their own theme music. Usually I like it when theme music gets mashed up together, but this one isn't very good. Sorry, I don't like it. Road Dogg says he ain't too lean, he wears neon green, and by his side is the big red machine. Master P better watch out. Road Dogg and Kane get destroyed at the start of the match, but Kane comes back with a DDT to Undertaker, and the babyfaces then send Show and Taker out of the ring. There's a bit of confusion when Undertaker goes for a clothesline, but Road Dogg thought it was going to be a chokeslam. Taker makes Mr. Dog pay for this stupidity with a few shots in the corner. Show then comes in with a big backbreaker, and Show tests how strong Road Dogg's chin is before dropping an elbow on the DOG. Absolutely no surprises here as we build up to Kane's hot tag. Road Dogg does manage to hit Big Show's small Show with a low blow, but Taker tags in before James gets to his corner. Another low blow gives Road Dogg the opportunity he's looking for though, and Kane comes in like a funeral home on fire. We see a diving clothesline and the crowd stays hyped for a big boot to the Undertaker. Kane then dropkicks Show while Road Dogg grabs a steel chair. Just when Kane chokeslams his own flesh and blood, the Big Show punches that chair into Road Dogg's face, and Show ends up snapping Kane's neck over the top rope. This leads to Undertaker performing his Tombstone Piledriver. The attack continues after the bell, but here comes the Acolytes to take out these two no good evildoers. Only no, Bob Holly takes out Farouk and Bradshaw with a baseball bat, and he tells Show and Taker that this is the last time he's going to come out to save their asses. Big Show tries to work out what Bob Holly's been smoking backstage. We then see The Rock enter in the arena, and he's only got himself his own personal Ed Leslie. This guy's carrying The Rock's bags for him. Rock scares the shit out of a lowly arena security guy sitting by the door, and when Booty Man hands over the Great One's bag, Rock asks if he wants a tip. He tells him to use a condom before proceeding to throw money in the air, and Leslie gets shoved to the floor while Rock laughs at this poor jabroni. Billy Gunn cuts a promo on Raw next. Totally forgot this guy won King of the Ring. On Nitro, Jimmy Hart's First Family takes on Dean Malenko and Shane Douglas. Stenko Malenko almost applies the Texas Cloverleaf to Jerry Flynn at the beginning of the match, but Hugh Morris runs in for the save. Morris then gets backdropped and it looked more like an ass drop. The crowd chant ECW as Shane comes in to work with Morris, and the franchise pulls off a dropkick, but Morris answers with a press slam. Hugh then goes up for the no laughing matter, but he gets stopped with an electric chair drop. Lightning food Jerry Lynn with an F then comes in, as does Dean Malenko. The Iceman brings an intensity to the ring, but he gets put down with a clothesline. Dino Machino then finds himself in the wrong corner, and even that no good Jimmy Hart gets in on the action. So WCW's clearly hoping for a big Shane Douglas pop when Malenko finally tags out. We go through a standard routine here with the heels cheating and the referee missing a tag from the babyfaces, nothing you haven't seen before. It's just more painful because we have to watch Jerry Flynn on offense. Gerald misses a corner kick and Shane tags in. The pop isn't bad to be fair, as Shane fires up and Flynn takes a clothesline. The match breaks down and Morris ends up getting smacked into Jimmy Hart and into the Hardcore Trophy. And that big goof Jerry Flynn hits his own partner with a diving clothesline. Shane wins the match with a Pittsburgh plunge, and Dean Malenko takes the Hardcore Trophy away before saying the revolution has arrived. It's announced on Raw that Billy Gunn's going to face Rock at SummerSlam, and Billy says it's going to be the primo perfect Mr. Ass versus the People's Ass in Minneapolis. Billy then says his rear end is beautiful and well manicured. The Rock wishes he had a shithole like Billy Gunn's, and Billy then shows everyone a video on the screen of The Rock's rear end. It's a video of a very large backside that could be The Rock's, but I'm not sure. Rock then shows up on the screen to call Billy out on his shenanigans though. The People's Champ says Billy just showed a video of his fat ass mama on the Titantron. At SummerSlam, The Rock only has to throw one punch to kill Billy, but if Rock misses, the wind's gonna give Billy pneumonia. Billy's gonna have drops of tears rolling down his cheek and drops of piss rolling down his leg at SummerSlam, and Billy's gonna find out that The Rock's the most electrifying man in sports entertainment. Rock's music then plays and Billy doesn't offer a rebuttal. That doesn't do BA any favours at all before the big match at SummerSlam. After the promo, we see D'Lo trying to get Mark Henry to eat a little healthier. The big man's still having issues with his blood pressure. Mark's not happy with his bland food, but I'd be a bit more worried about that weird energy drink that WWF's been promoting over these past few weeks. D'Lo gets a shot at Jeff Jarrett's IC title next on Raw, while also putting his European Championship up for grabs. On Nitro, it's Perry Saturn versus Bobby Duncan Jr. Before the Nitro match, Scott Hudson talked about how disgusting Rick Steiner's actions were earlier in the show, and Scott really should have kept his mouth shut. The dog-faced gremlin walks down to the commentary table to beat the snot out of Scotty Too Hottie, and Mr. Hudson needs a stretcher and ambulance after taking a belly-to-belly suplex followed by a few punches. Eric Bischoff takes over on the commentary table, and so much time was wasted here with Eric taking over and Scott getting loaded into the ambulance. I'm sure Scott's a nice guy and people are fond of his work, but let's be real, no one cares about him or his well-being at this point in time. Kurt Hennig comes out before the Saturn and Bobby D match, and Hennig says there's a country singer trying to steal his thunder named Chad Brock. Chad was actually a trained wrestler and he competed for WCW before getting injured. He then released some pretty successful songs while signed with Warner Brothers Music. Kurt says Chad's gonna be here next week. He's using WCW to sell records, but Chad's short, fat, bald, and ugly. And as for Saturn, Hennig thinks he's more like that other planet, Uranus. So Saturn hits Bobby with a Death Valley driver before grabbing a microphone. He says if Kurt wants to be an elite cowboy, he should get in the ring right now for a fight. Kurt agrees to the match, so here we go, Saturn versus Hennig on Nitro. Kurt bumps all over the ring for Saturn before taking a few mounted punches in the corner. He replies with a few strikes of his own in the corner, followed by his rolling neck snap. Hennig then finds himself in trouble, so he hits a low blow to keep his advantage. But Saturn has balls of steel, and Kurt gets all tied up in the ropes while Saturn lays in a few punches and kicks. It ends with Kurt taking an overhead belly-to-belly, followed by the Death Valley driver. The West Texas Rednecks then run in to cause a DQ finish, and just before Saturn gets hogtied, Dean Malenko and Shane Douglas run down for the save. Nice to see Shane has his boots on this week. I'm actually kinda bummed about this because I thought we were gonna have a full-blown Revolution versus Jersey Triad feud. Nothing against Kurt Hennig's band of merry men, but it's just a shame that the Revolution are gonna split their focus with another faction. On Raw, we've got both the IC and European Championships on the line. It's winner take all, as long as we don't have a DQ or countout. D'Lo catches Jarrett with a sit-down powerbomb, and D'Lo shows how much of a European champion he is with a running power slam. Jarrett wants to walk away from the match, and Deborah has to talk some sense into the IC champion. And on the outside, D'Lo continues to wreck Double J, and Jarrett hasn't been able to get started here. Finally, Jeff goes on offense with a dropkick, but when he goes back to the outside, he seems a little too focused on what Deborah's doing. Still, he gets back in the ring and he hits a single arm DDT on D'Lo, and D'Lo then finds himself in a sleeper. The European champ frees himself, he takes a knee to the midsection, Jarrett pulls off a swinging neckbreaker before applying a fatality move, the deadly chinlock. D'Lo fights back though, and Double J gets catapulted, and then Double J wipes the referee out with a clothesline. Deborah then gets in the ring, she drops both championship belts on the canvas before showing D'Lo her puppies. D'Lo's a strong-minded man though, and he doesn't get as easily captivated as his tag team partner would, so he takes the European Championship belt and he knocks Double J out cold. D'Lo covers Jeff, and we have the first ever WWF Eurocontinental Champion crowned on Raw. It does feel like a real crowning moment here, and it's quite the accomplishment for the 28-year-old D'Lo Brown. JR says D'Lo just took a giant step to the next level in WWF, and Jeff Jarrett, of course, takes it out on Deborah. To be fair, it kinda was her fault. Jarrett goes backstage and he says D'Lo didn't beat him tonight, Deborah did, and Double J wants his rematch at SummerSlam on August 22nd. Steve Austin cuts a promo next on Raw. On Nitro, it's Chris Benoit versus DDP. Stone Cold said he listened to Triple H run his mouth last week on commentary, and all Austin heard was a bunch of BS. Triple H can study Stone Cold all he wants, he can have a PhD in his back pocket based on the works of Stone Cold Steve Austin. It really doesn't matter because Stone Cold's gonna beat Hunter's ass at SummerSlam. The Undertaker and Big Show then make an appearance, and Undertaker quickly explains why he's standing in the ring right now. Stone Cold owes him a WWF title rematch, and if the Dead Man doesn't get it right now, well, this is gonna happen. Undertaker and Big Show beat the WWF champion down to the mat. Austin's left in the ring a beaten man while Show and Undertaker head to the back. Michael Cole says he's gonna get a word with Austin soon in regards to the Undertaker's challenge. And look, Austin and Undertaker are top tier legends in the world of pro wrestling, but I don't want to see them wrestle again. I'm sure they were both sick of looking at each other at this point in time too. Diamond Dallas Page schooled Chris Benoit in the first half of their match on Nitro. Benoit did try to lock in the crossface pretty early on, but Page avoided it and he answered with a swinging neckbreaker. Benoit then took a back elbow followed by Page's signature spinning powerbomb, and when Benoit tried to fight back again, he ended up taking a spinebuster. Bischoff thinks the reason Dallas Page turned to the dark side was because he didn't know how to handle being at the very top of the WCW mountain. The championship win earlier in the year went to Page's head and he's become a lesser performer because of it. You wouldn't think this is true though, as DDP pulls off the real people's elbow before heading to the top rope, but Chris catches him out and Dallas takes a superplex. The two competitors trade right hands and Benoit wins on this exchange. Chris then pulls off two pinning German suplexes that Dallas has to kick out of. Dallas answers with a uranage that looked pretty good, but Chris plants Page with a DDT before hitting his signature diving headbutt. David Flair then shows up and he gets punched in the mouth before Benoit counters a roll-up to win via pinfall. The triad then attack though, and an angry DDP hits Benoit with a diamond cutter. Page wants his boys to leave so he can deliver another cutter to Chris before David Flair steps inside the ropes. Page then hits Chris with a super diamond cutter that he usually saves for special occasions, and David then taunts Benoit with his US championship. Even when doing something basic as this, he still looks so out of place. It all ends with DDP whipping Benoit with his belt, so it appears that the Triad and Revolution feud is still very much in place. On Raw, the Big Boss Man takes on Viscera, plus we've got Tess versus Rodney of the MSP. On Nitro, Randy Savage cuts a promo. So former corporate ministry members are already fighting each other on Raw, and this one's for the Hardcore Championship. Viscera delivers a big belly-to-belly suplex before squashing the Boss Man in the corner, and the match then goes into the audience where, as usual, not a lot happens. The competitors end up at the side of the stage where Bossman delivers a few knee strikes. He then finds a table and a fire extinguisher, but it's the Hardcore champ who gets spread down before getting set up on a table. Viscera ends up putting himself through that table when Bossman moves out of the way, and the match ends with Viscera getting pepper spray in his eyes before Bossman beats the challenger with his trusty nightstick. The Big Bossman is still Hardcore champion. Backstage, Steve Austin says if The Undertaker wants a title rematch, then he's got one. He also invites The Big Show to come down tonight to watch this match, and he too can get his ass kicked. We then see Triple H, who's wearing a Black Label Society shirt, walking into the arena, and you just know Triple H won't be happy with The Undertaker getting a title opportunity before he does.
You ever had sex? I haven't felt great. It felt so good when I did it with my penis. A girl let me do it. It literally just happened. Having sex can make a nice man out the meanest. Oh, hey.
Rodgers beats the crap out of Test on the outside, and Joey Abs comes down to lend a hand, even though he really didn't have to. Test gets thrown into the ring post, and it looks like Rodney has this all figured out, but then back in the ring, yeah, that probably hurt, didn't it? It's okay though, because this is Rodney. Rod cannot be beaten and he cannot be stopped. We go to the outside and, damn it. Rodney slips on a banana or something, but that's okay because the ROD doesn't J-O-B, and when this gets back inside the ropes, it's gonna... That no good Test is trying to break Rodney's arm, and he goes about this with a few leg drops followed by a few top rope elbow drops. Rodney then does the unthinkable and he submits to a hammerlock. Yes, a hammerlock. But Rodney was just having a bad day, and he'll be fighting fit again next week. At least he would be if Test didn't wrap a chair around his arm before jumping off the top rope with a foot stomp. At this point, this is assault, mister, and Tess should be locked up in jail. This is ridiculous. Joey Abs doesn't want to go near this madman for obvious reasons, but Joey's next on Tess's hit list, and it all ends with Tess smacking poor Rodney with that steel chair right on the injured arm. Despicable behaviour on Raw's War. China then tells Triple H about what happened earlier on, and Hunter's fuming. He can't believe Tess just beat Rodney, and neither can I. On Nitro, Randy Savage says his presidential campaign's on hold right now because he has a worm he needs to take care of. Savage has to prove to all of America that he can take out the trash, and Macho Man says Hogan, Kevin Nash, and Rodman are all dead. Strong words right there from the Macho Man. Randy Savage versus Dennis Rodman's gonna happen at Road Wild, but Savage calls Rodzilla out right now for a fight. Instead though, Savage gets Mona, the former Miss Madness. Mona wants to be part of the team again, and things get a bit uncomfortable when Macho tells Mona to get on her knees and beg for her job back. Savage ends up saying that Mona's still fired, he tells her to beat it, and then Dennis Rodman shows up with 4x4 and Swole, members of the No Limit Soldiers. It turned out they actually did have a limit, and it was the lower mid-card. Dennis wonders if Savage is mad because Rodzilla stuck his worm into Gorgeous George. Randy says just because Dennis has been a bitch all his life, he doesn't need to go after Randy's. Fantastic line. And Mona hits Randy with a low blow before Dennis gets in the ring. Rodman delivers a clothesline to the back of Macho's head before dropping a few elbows, and Nitro takes a commercial break before Dennis can find a microphone. Rodman vs. Savage is either going to be the worst match of all time or the greatest match of all time. There's going to be no in between. Steve Blackman vs. Val Venus on Raw, my god. On Nitro, it's Eddie Guerrero vs. Vampiro. Blackman says he had no idea Ken Shamrock was standing behind his car last week, and besides, Shamrock should watch where he's going. Blackman's a lethal weapon who doesn't need vehicles to hurt his opponents. If he really wanted to, he could turn into Shin Blackman right now and destroy the whole world, but he's not going to do that because he's such a nice guy. The match begins and Blackman goes for the kick early on, but Venus counters and Steve's at a disadvantage that really doesn't last too long. Blackman shows off a new move right here, the Mervug leg sweep, and this gets followed up with a Northern Light suplex. Venus comes back with a fisherman suplex before Blackman takes a few corner clotheslines, but the lethal weapon uses his lethal feet to kick Venus on the chin. Then Ken Shamrock runs down to the ring and Steve has to escape. He's only running away because he doesn't want to kill Ken if the two come face to face. Shamrock catches up to Steve and Big Jim Dodson saves Ken's life by pulling him away from the lethal weapon. That's a very, very good security guard right there. But in the backstage area, Shamrock once again catches up with Blackman and more officials have to hold Shamrock back for his own good. Kenny Boy dodged the bullet right here. The last thing he wants is Shin Blackman knocking on his door, trust me. On Nitro, Vampiro came to the ring with the Deadpool, Raven and the ICP. Eddie Guerrero's not happy that this crew's surrounding the ring, and the moment Eddie hits a dropkick, Shaggy Two Dope gets on the apron. So Eddie gets put at a disadvantage and Vampiro delivers a superkick before sending Guerrero out of the ring. Eddie lands on a cameraman. The ICP and Raven taunt Eddie, but they don't get physical. Instead, they watch closely as Vampiro throws his opponent into the ring steps. Back in the ring, Vampiro pulls off an overhead belly to belly, and then he hits a great looking chokeslam that only keeps the Latino Heat down for a two count. We then see a top rope arm drag from Eddie as he tries to build a comeback. He crotches Vampiro on the top rope before drop kicking him into Violent J. Shaggy 2 Dope gets knocked off the apron too before Eddie performs a plancha, and Eddie then goes for a top rope attack back inside the ropes, but Raven pushes him down and Vampiro gets the win when Eddie takes a nail in the coffin. Rey Mysterio and Conan run down to stop the inevitable post-match beatdown, and it looks like another faction could be forming in WCW that's going to include Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, and Conan. Raw ends with The Undertaker vs Stone Cold Steve Austin, while Sting and Goldberg take on Sid and Rick Steiner on Nitro. Don't worry, the Raw match doesn't actually happen. I wouldn't call this a bait and switch either, seeing as the match was only announced about 15 minutes before Raw went off the air. Triple H runs down to the ring before Austin makes his entrance and he tells The Undertaker this match isn't going to happen. It's Triple H's time, and if The Undertaker wants to fight Stone Cold, then he has to go through the game. Someone's going to kick Austin's ass and take his belt, but it's not going to be The Undertaker. And with that, Austin gets in the ring and we have a fight between Stone Cold, Triple H, Undertaker, and Big Show. The Acolytes run down to get their hands on The Undertaker. Kane enters the ring to go after The Big Show. We've got The Road Dogg, Billy Gunn, and The Rock all running down to get involved in this big brawl. And Raw goes off the air with BA taking a Stone Cold Stunner and Road Dogg takes a Pedigree. I thought this ending to Raw was a bit weak, if I'm honest, but that's only because WWF's been doing a much better job than WCW when it comes to putting a full stop on their weekly TV shows. On Nitro, Hollywood Hogan joins the commentary team for this matchup, so we get to hear Bischoff tell Hulk how great he is. We get a four-man brawl to kick us off and the babyfaces clear out the ring. Prime time for a bit of time wasting right about now. The match eventually resumes with Sting suplexing Sid and Goldberg absolutely wrecking Rick Steiner with a clothesline. Sting takes a little damage on the outside that the cameras totally missed. So the Stinger's at a disadvantage as he gets his face raked by Rick Steiner before getting slammed into the corner. Big Sid sinks his boot into Sting's head, but the Icon comes back with a facebuster. Out of nowhere though, Sid performs a chokeslam and Goldberg has to break up the cover. Another attempt to build momentum gets stopped when Sting tries a splash and Sid gets his knees up. A little too much confidence sees Sid miss a leg drop though, and this gives Sting a chance to apply the Scorpion Deathlock. Rick breaks it up, Goldberg breaks Rick. The DFG decides to grab a steel chair, Hollywood Hogan decides to take that chair away, and this is the end of our match, folks. Hogan hits Rick and Sid a few times with his world famous chair shots and the referee disqualifies the babyfaces. Just before Nitro ends though, Kevin Nash shows up and he puts Hollywood through the announce table with a jackknife powerbomb. Kinda rare seeing Hulk taking a powerbomb, but maybe this is a sign of things to come at Road Wild. Raw wins reliving the war this week. The reason why no one remembers these episodes of Nitro is because the show itself's become so formulaic in the summer of 99. We get moments here and there, but little moments aren't good enough when going up against WWF during the Attitude Era. I mean, what does everyone remember from this Nitro? Hulk Hogan wearing a paperclip necklace. It's kind of heartbreaking too because you just want WCW to get better and you want the guys to be given substantial opportunities to show how good they really are, but it's not the wrestler's fault, it's the lack of real creativity that's keeping the show down. Raw's now on 102 points, Nitro's got 73, and we've got 20 ties on the board. In the TV ratings, Raw dropped down to a 5.9, while Nitro also dropped to a 3.1. On Nitro next week, Hulk Hogan adds a massive stipulation to the Road Wild main event match against Kevin Nash. Vicious and Delicious explode when Buff Bagwell takes on Scott Norton, and David Flair defends his US title once again against Chris Benoit. On Raw, Commissioner Shawn Michaels makes his return, X-Pac and Kane get a shot at the Acolytes Tag Team Championships, and the Millennium Clock reaches zero while The Rock stands in the middle of the ring. You won't want to miss next week's show. Thank you for watching, everyone. I do appreciate it. And please take care.